I follow the Rockets closely, even when I was up in Kentucky. I remember when they first got into the playoffs this year. Excitement, with great anticipation, and I was particularly ecstatic after the first two games. They won it. They won those first two games effortless. And many predicted that they were going to win that series without any problem. They knew exactly what it took to win that game. Exactly. And they went out and did it. And then, suddenly, game number three. I don't want to talk about that one. You remember in game number four and five. Matter of fact, for those next three games, they totally fell apart. They somehow forgot how to win. All that they knew and did during the first two games was went out the door. When it came down to the next three games, they just forgot. The Rockets, after that fifth game, stepped back and sort of regrouped. Game six. They knew that they had to change because, you know, those three games they were playing miserably. They needed to adjust. Because they knew in order for them to win, they had to refocus on what was necessary to win. They came back and they did win. Game six. Oh, I was all excited about that. But again, they lost focus again. When it came down to the final and deciding game seven, they lost in a very embarrassing way. This morning, I want to ask if you know if you are winning or losing. And if you do know, are we focusing on it and carrying it out? One thing is to know. Or maybe we have been distracted. And as a result, and maybe it's time for us to step back. It's like halftime, you know? Well, we're not doing so well. Maybe we need to make some adjustment to the game plan. Realizing our strategy at the present time is not working. We need to make some adjustments. Refocus as to what it takes to win. Basically, we're introduced to a problem that this group of believers have.
It says the author just had so much that he I believe that's part of it. I believe that these believers, as they came to the temple week after week, they came with the wrong attitude, the wrong motive, the wrong purpose to the temple. Oh, there might be a variety of reasons why these believers came. They might have come just because they wanted to socialize with their friends. Maybe they came because they habit for them to come week after week. Maybe they come because they have certain responsibility. There are certain duty, so-called. And they had to come. Whatever the reason might be for them coming, it was not for the purpose of growing spiritually. I remembered when I was teaching in public high school many years ago, before I went to full-time ministry. I remember during my first year of teaching, you know, as a new teacher, we get all the leftover classes. And I had several classes where I taught math workshops. That was, you know, those classes where the jocks and some of the athletes and so forth would come and take. Those classes were really hard to teach, because there are a number of students that were in those classes. They came not because they had to, they didn't really want to, but, you know, they show up. They had problems with math in the past, and they really lost sight of the value and importance of understanding basic math. It was not that they could not learn, but they did not want to learn. Slow in learning. Are we slow to learn? What is our purpose in coming to church? Is it for spiritual growth? Is it to know God more intimately so that we have greater confidence to approach the throne of grace? So that we can trust Him more and ask with great faith? And when we have an encounter with God, does it make a difference in our life at all? Sadly to say, from studies and research, that it shows many believers do not act any differently than unbelievers outside of that. Somehow, that which we hear and that which has been spoken hasn't connected with our heart. The question is there a problem with the teaching or is there a problem with ourselves? We find these believers here, they went back to the temple week after week. What else does the author have to say concerning about these believers? They were slow to learn. But as we take a look at verse 12, we see another major characteristics. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. It appears as we read this verse that these believers have been believers for quite a long time. You know, if you're around for a long time, there's certain expectations. And the author had certain expectations toward these believers. Since they've been coming to church week after week for an extended period of time, he sort of made an assumption. That these people, since they have heard the word week after week, that they probably have a very good understanding of Scripture. That they probably have a good understanding of their belief. They've been coming all these years. They should be grounded. Things should be happening in their lives because they're hearing the truth from God. We find these believers were satisfied with the status quo. They were satisfied with their spirituality. All coming down to the temple was the right thing to do. And yet somehow they fall into a rut. They come to church, so-called. Routinely, with no real expectation from God or for God, there's no real deep desire to really know God. They come, they mingle around, they go home. God somehow is not an integral part of their life. God is niche into their calendar for that hour on Sunday. That's about it. They were satisfied with the status quo. You probably would understand why these believers who are slow to learn, who are satisfied with the status quo, why they are not experiencing the abundant life that God has promised them. Something is wrong. Just spending time at church does not automatically make us spiritually mature. Although it might seem to be the logical conclusion, over time, if I keep coming, something should be happening to us. The author expected these believers, since they've been there for such a lengthy period of time, had expectation that they should be teachers. You guys should be teachers by now. But what was very embarrassing is that not only were they not teachers, but they needed someone to teach them the elementary truths all over again. The ABC one more time.
They were satisfied with the status quo. Some of these believers might have been going to the temple for 10 years. For some, it might be 15 years. For others, maybe 20 or more years.
And somehow they just haven't been growing.
It appears that when the Bible is preached, they really don't think much about it. Neither do they meditate upon it, nor do they apply it.
It just appears that it goes in one ear and out the other ear.
As a result, it does not affect their daily life whatsoever. You know, we need to take a little closer look at our heart. We need to really answer the question of why are we here? Why do we come to church? Why do we go to fellowship? Why do we attend small group? How long have we been doing this? Is it making any difference in our life?
Do we need someone to teach us the elementary things again? Are we really winning? Or are we losing in our game of life? Are we experiencing that abundant life that God has promised us for all those that believe in Him? Is God lying or is this something that's wrong? Do we experience the peace in the midst of turbulence? Do we experience joy in the midst of suffering? Is life filled with excitement? Are we having victories over our bad habits? Are we making an impact in our community? Are we going deeper in our sharing with others?
Or are we just being superficial?
God desires for us to experience all of it in a very real and vivid way.
He wants us to experience abundant life. But some of us might be slow to learn. And maybe some of us here are satisfied with that status quo. And as a result, we rob ourselves of all that God has intended for us to enjoy in this life. Life is not the same old. It's good thrill and joy.
We have a choice.
Whether we want to grow spiritually or not.
Where are we in our journey in life? Many of us claim that our faith is important to us. What evidence do we have to show that that is true in our action? Have we invested energy in pursuing spiritual growth? Or have we been just cheating ourselves of God's abundant blessing? You see, it is normal to grow. It is normal for a baby to want to move from drinking milk to eating solid food. It's normal. It's normal for a baby to learn to feed upon himself or herself. It is normal for a child to learn to take care of himself or herself. It's normal. And as a Christian, we're not to be just infants and babes. It is normal for us to grow spiritually. It's normal. It's normal for us to feed ourselves spiritually. If we're not growing, then we are limiting our experience of God's goodness to us. If we're not growing, that is abnormal. Something is wrong. Do we see a 10-year-old or 15-year-old bringing in a big old bottle and chucking it down? Something is wrong. Something's wrong. We see a 20-year-old crawl on the floor. Something is wrong. Why isn't this person growing or have grown already? This should not be. As believers, are we growing? I believe just as basketball coaches during halftime, and if they realize that they are losing, they get their team together and say, hey, you know, we can't be doing these things like what we've been doing during the first half. We're going to lose. We need to redirect. We need to refocus. We need to understand what it needs to win and execute. And maybe some of us here need to take a close look at ourselves. Maybe we've been coming week after week, year after year. And the question is, have we grown? Are we enjoying all that God's intended for us to enjoy? Are we winning or are we losing? We need to take a close look. And if we're losing, we better make some adjustment. Or we're going to live this way the rest of our lives. Boring, defeated lives that deceives ourselves by doing the so-called good thing of going to church on Sunday. We saw that these believers had a problem. They were spiritually immature. And the solution is for them to be spiritually mature. First step, we see in verse 13, 14, that they need to learn to feed upon ourselves with solid food. Notice in verse 13. It says, anyone who lives on milk being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature. He said they are not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. This word acquainted speaks much more than knowledge of understanding of what's going on. Acquainted comes from more the root word of experiencing. That when truth is being brought up, it's not enough to know it intellectually, but we need to be acquainted with it in an experiential knowledge. We need to learn to feed ourselves with solid food. It's not enough to just drink milk, but we need to move on. That's an indication that we're growing. Eating solid food. Are we eating solid food? Are we feeding for ourselves? Or do we need someone else to continue to teach us the elementary truths? We need to move on, grow in spiritual maturity. We need to spend time communing with God, enjoying His presence. I challenge you, and some of you might be using daily bread for devotion. I think that's okay. I think we need to go beyond that. Get into some solid food. I challenge you to feed on your own, to study the Word on your own. Learn to study Scripture in an inductive way. I challenge you to memorize Scripture. Consider memorize one chapter in a book. Hide God's Word in our hearts that we will not sin against Him. Dig a little deeper. Set out an outline for a particular book or a chapter. See how the different paragraphs are interrelated together. Find biblical truth and principle and ask yourself how we can apply this to ourselves. Learn deeper truths from Scripture. You know, solid food is offered in Sunday school here. I extend an invitation for us to take advantage of these learning opportunities. Not only are we to feed ourselves with solid food, but secondly, we need to constantly use God's Word. Notice in verse 14. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. If we want to grow spiritually, it's a process. It involves constant use of God's Word. This needs to be intentional. Growth happens gradually. This is a process of training. I'd like to encourage you, as you spend time in devotion with God each day, that you write one or two principles that God might have spoken to you. Write it down on a tablet to keep track of what God might be teaching you from the Word of God. But it's not enough to just write down that one or two principles that God might have enlightened you, but also write along the side, what might be one thing that I can do today that I could apply this particular principle That's what you call constant use of God's Word. And throughout the day, meditate and think about that one thing. One thing. And ask God to help you to learn and apply that principle. For you see, transformation, that's what God is interested in each of our lives, will only take place if we constantly use God's Word to apply in our daily life. There will be days that we don't feel by spending time with the Lord. Do it anyway. It's most valuable that we establish good habits. If we slack off, it's easy for us to develop bad habits. You see, if we want to grow as a musician, we need to practice. We need to constantly practice. There'll be days that we don't want to play, but we play anyway. If we want to grow as a cook, we need to constantly practice. We don't be a great cook just overnight. If we want to grow spiritually, we need to constantly practice. Constantly use God's Word. A natural result of using God's Word constantly is being able to distinguish good from evil. One of the ways that we could see this display is that basically we're saying that we would be able to discern the will of God. Understand those things that please God, the good. And those things that displease God, evil. Distinguish the two. Do we understand those things that are close to God's heart? Those things that are valuable to Him. Last week we talked about enjoying God's presence. When you learn to enjoy His presence, He didn't care so much of all the different things that we might be doing, but rather, He wants to spend time with us personally. Today, we learned that we need to grow to spiritual maturity. The bottom line is, if we're going to win the game of life, we are to grow spiritually and also help others to grow. The best way to grow is to learn to feed ourselves with solid food. We need to feed ourselves and not just be dependent upon others to feed us. That's moving to a higher level spiritually. And also we need to constantly use, it's active, God's Word. That involves application. We need to be acquainted with it, not just intellectually, but experientially. As we learn a lesson experientially, I strongly encourage you to tell it to somebody else. You learn something, tell it to somebody else, because that's how you reinforce what you learn. And you know what that is called? That is called discipleship. You learn something, God teaches you something, somebody else teaches you something, the Word teaches you something. Well, tell it to somebody else. When we do that, it reinforces what's been going on in our mind and in our hearts. Learn to share with others that which we have learned from our devotion, from our Sunday school, from our message on Sunday, from a brother or a sister that shares something with us personally that we learn and we pass along to someone else. If we are to win in the game of life, we need to grow spiritually. Not only do we need to grow spiritually, but we need to help others to grow. One of the greatest measurements whether we are winning is seeing that we grow and helping others to grow. We then will grow closer to God. We'll learn to trust Him more. We'll have greater confidence to go before the Lord to ask for great things. And as a result, we will experience and see greater power and authority that He displays in our lives. He makes things happen all the time. He's waiting for us to gain the trust and confidence to approach the throne of grace to do so. And as we learn something, each step of growth that we take, make sure that we pass it along to someone else. Let us not be satisfied with where we are, but rather we grow to maturity. That's powerful prayer. Father, we ask that You forgive us for a complacent heart. Maybe we just have gotten used to it, just coming and losing sight while we're here and how we can really enjoy fullness of life that You have given to us. Father, we need to turn around. It's halftime. As we reflect upon our life, it's not as good as it is. It ought to be. And maybe we might even deceive ourselves in thinking it might be better than what it actually might be. Lord, may we not be satisfied with our status quo. May we pursue to grow to spiritual maturity. You have so much in store for us, God. May we stop robbing ourselves of Your goodness and grace that You want to pour upon us to experience. Lord, we commit ourselves to You, that we will seek You, to know You, to make You know. In Christ's name, amen.